Okay, good evening. We're on part two of managing our mitzvahs, and last week we talked about preparing for Shabbos, and today we'll talk about Friday night as we begin the Shabbos per se. So that's what we're going to be up to. And if you look, just have a quick overview of the sheets that you have over here. I don't know if we're going to get this all done tonight. We're going to start candle lighting. And that'll be, I guess the women will be focusing more on that. And then Kiddush, which I guess the men will focus more on that, although they're not exclusive of each other. And then the washing that you do before the bread. And then making the motzi, the lechem mishnah. That's the four parts. We'll see how far we can get in an hour or so. And trying to make it very clear what to do and why to do all the things that are over here. So, it's interesting that the very first mitzvah of Shabbos, the first mitzvah of Shabbos is with a woman lighting the Shabbos candles. That's really the first active thing that ushers in the Shabbos. And it's interesting, the Or Chaim explains that Hashem, when He created the world, He created the world to last for six days. And every Shabbos, the world rejuvenates itself. It gets injected with renewed creative strength to last for the next 6 days. So, at creation, the first thing that was brought into existence was what? Light. Let there be light. Right. Therefore, the first mitzvah at the arrival of Shabbos, which is going to bring in the energies for the continuing week, is the kindling of the candles. They correspond with the light of the first day of creation. So that's on a simple level why we start Shabbos with lighting of the candles. Now, probably the most important aspect of lighting candles, which is a very important concept, King Solomon teaches us, Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. For a mitzvah is a... that's not the pasuk I wanted. I'm sorry. Ki ner elokim nishmas adam. That's the pasuk I wanted. Ki ner elokim nishmas adam. For the candle of God is the soul of man. So, in other words, there's all kinds of analogies of things in this world that make it easier for us to understand spiritual concepts. Just like we said last week, that the relationship between a chassan and a kala, a bride and a groom, helps us understand the relationship between the Jewish people and God. And we have all kinds of these types of parables so we can understand spiritual concepts. So if we want to understand the concept of a soul, the analogy that lets us understand what a soul is the candle, the light. And the reason for that is that the light does something that defies science, defies simple logic. And what is that? We have a rule of science that there's something called gravity. Gravity. Everything, the earth pulls down, the gravitational force pulling things down to earth. There's one exception to that rule, and that is a fire. A fire goes against gravity and goes up as opposed to going down. Now, this is really the comparison between that and the soul of the human being. The body that we have is very physical, comes from the ground. The force of gravity pulls us down. You always got to try to fight against that gravity. And on the other hand, our neshama, our soul, does not go towards the ground, but rather it always searches to go heavenlyward. So therefore, when we look at a candle, we think of a soul. Especially that we know that, an oil menorah, we know that the wick flickers. It flickers. As if it wants to jump off of the wick and go up into the space. But it can't, because if it'll do that, it'll extinguish. So it has to come back to the wick. So that's with the flickering of the flame, which is really what the soul really wants to do. The soul would love to soar right out of the human body, but if it does, it won't be able to be in this world. And therefore, it kind of is always having to struggle with staying within the body and wanting to go out of the body. And some commentaries say that's why we shuckle when we daven. That's why we sway when we pray and all these things, because it's reflecting the soul wanting to jump out and just go beyond the physical constraints of the human being. Therefore, whenever there's a spiritual occasion, we always have lights. We always have lights at spiritual occasions, be it a yahrzeit, be it a wedding, be it a bris, because there's always factors of soul that are involved. And just like we know that a typical light has three parts. First, it has what we call a ner, which is the receptacle that holds the flame. Then we have what's called a psila, a wick. And then we have shemen, which is an oil. Those are the three parts. The receptacle, the wick, and the oil. Those three words, ner starts with a nun, psila starts with a pei, and shemen starts with a shin. That's the word nefesh, which means a soul. So obviously, see now you don't get in the notes, see? So obviously when you're lighting that candle, what you are telling yourself, when we're looking at that candle, we're looking at a soul, so to speak. So that makes a lot of sense that Shabbos, which is the day of the soul, it's the day that we connect to our inner essence, to that soul, because that's the beauty of Shabbos. So it makes sense that the wife lights the candles as Shabbos is coming. And we'll see it's a mitzvah to look at the candles often on Shabbos. Because what it's reminding you is to stay focused on what the goal of the day is. The goal of the day is to get in touch with your soul. And if you follow all the rules and the customs that the rabbis tell us, they're all there to enable us to make it easier for us to get in touch with that reality of the soul that we are trying to come into contact with in this very holy day. So that's why when the wife lights the candles, she should be having a lot of things in mind. And one of the things she's having in mind is her soul, and obviously we'll talk about it shortly. The amount of candles that are lit is reflecting the amount of souls that are in the house. And the hope is, she says special prayers, hoping that the whole family will be able to connect with their souls on the Shabbos. That's the concept over here. Now, the lighting as well, there are two, that's the spiritual reason. That's the mystical reason. And that's probably the most important reason. However, there's also halacha, the revealed reasons. And the revealed reasons are such that number one, the reason we light the candles is for what we call shalom bayis. Shalom bayis, have peace in the home. Because a home that is dark is going to often be a home where there's going to be a lot of problems. You know, you bump into the furniture, you stub your toe, bump into people, you can't see what you're eating, it's not necessarily a pleasant thing. You know, this whole narishkeit that in the fancy restaurants they have dim lighting, it's the biggest shtus in the world. It's ridiculous. The person likes to see what he's eating. You know, I don't know. I can't understand the logic. I mean, I guess they had a fair way to charge you more to go to a restaurant. So every restaurant had lots of light. See, we're going to be different. We're always going to be dim lit. We're going to tell you it's special and romantic, and you'll be foolish enough to believe it. And then we'll charge you more money because of the ambience. In the Torah, it's not like that. It should be well lit. A house should be well lit. You should see what you're eating, and that's what should be. So therefore, you have to have light. Now, for that matter, then you should have lights all over the house. And the truth is, it's not merely the candles in the dining room, but wherever you're going to frequent in the house and you need to see, you have to have lights. The other reason for it is what we call Kavod Shabbos, Oinig Shabbos. It's there to give honor to the Shabbos. Special occasions, we light candles. So therefore, even if there, let's say, are lights in the dining room already, you still want to put candles on the table to show that Shabbos is a very special day. So those are the reasons why we light the candles, and it keeps the whole spirit of Shabbos ushered in a very beautiful way. Okay, if there's any questions, just feel free to ask as we go. Yeah?
So if the candles are supposed to provide actual light, if the dining room crystal chandelier is on, doesn't really add anything.
Again, so we're saying, for honor of the Shabbos, that's why there's two reasons. So you're right, for Shalom Bayis, it doesn't add to any Shalom Bayis, but for Kavod Shabbos, but for honoring the Shabbos, it honors the Shabbos. There's some rabbis who suggest what you should do in that situation. Let's say you have the dining room lights and you've got a fancy chandelier. We should have it. You should have the chandelier off first. The wife makes the bracha and lights the candles. And as soon as she does that, then the husband turns the light on for the chandelier. So then, the lights that she lights are really illuminating. And it's like her bracha is like going on what the husband's going to be doing right afterwards as well. So if you want to be extra meticulous, so to speak, fulfill all the opinions possible, then that would be, and the wife couldn't do that herself because once she lights the candles, it's Shabbos. So she'd be stuck. And if a woman's alone, it's can't do that. But if the husband who does not accept Shabbos when the wife lights the candles, so he could put the chandeliers on afterwards. Okay. Now, point two, on Friday afternoon, the wicks of the Shabbos lights should be charred, which means you light them and extinguish them, because that makes them much easier to ignite again. Again, that depends on what you're doing. If you're having oil candles, that's certainly true. Regular candles, it depends on the brands that you buy. Sometimes lighting and extinguishing makes it easier, and sometimes lighting and extinguishing makes it harder. So you'd have to test the candles that you have. But the point being, and here's the point is you want it that when the wife is ready to light the candles, she's not going to waste her time fiddling around with wicks or things that are giving her trouble to light. It's a stressful time. Oh, and even if it's not a stressful time, she shouldn't have to be spending so much of her focus and energy on making sure the candle catches, as opposed to her deeper spiritual thoughts and prayers for her family. So it should be like an easy process. She puts the fire to the wick and it goes. So this is the husband's responsibility to make sure that the candles are ready to go, and all she has to do is come and light them. That's it. So the husband really can stick the wicks, can prepare the wicks and prepare the oil, prepare the candles, whatever you're having. So when the wife comes, it's ready to go, and make sure that there are matches. You know, I've had situations where, unfortunately, you know, women, they come to light the candles, and it's like minutes before Shabbos, you know, and they're looking, they cannot find a match. You know, you have what you call the lighters. If your lighter goes, you know, there's one day the lighter doesn't go, right? You know, it runs out of butane or whatever they run out of now. And I've had stories, women tell me, and ask me what to do afterwards. The thing wouldn't catch. And then they get more nervous because it's coming down the wire. And then they're trying to look for matches. They ain't got no matches in their house. And sometimes, unfortunately, it comes that they don't light for Shabbos, because then once Shabbos comes, and there's nothing you can do. So the husband really has to make sure that there'll be no slip-ups. So when the wife comes to light, everything's ready to go, and she's just lighting the candles. Okay? And in this way, the husband has a share in the mitzvah, and it shows that, you know, the candles are being lit specifically for Shabbos. Yeah?
Can you blow up the wick?
We're going to talk about that. We're going to get to that. It's one of the points that we're going
to
get to.
How to char?
I'm sorry?
How to char the wick?
I mean, the husband?
Yeah.
Oh, the husband. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the wife. The husband? Yeah, the match. It's a match.
No, so he takes the butane lighter.
Yeah, okay. So Jews usually aren't big on blowing out candles. So usually you would take like a cup, you know, and just put it over it, you know. We usually don't blow out candles. We just said that a candle is a soul. So we're not into blowing away souls, so to speak. We put them out, extinguish them, but we don't blow them out. So if you're very adept, take your fingers and, you know, you put out the fire that way.
Sorry, I don't understand. What candles are you talking about?
The Shabbos candles. So when the husband prepares, we're saying the husband prepares the candles. So he'll light the candles and then extinguish them. So then when the wife has the light, so it catches right away. That's what we're saying. So you're saying, how do you extinguish them? So either use your fingers or you take a cup and just put the cup right over the flame in, and it makes it go out. Okay, so that's, and again, it could be now that the candles, depending on the brands you have, could be, cause some of the candles have tons of wax on them. So it's very hard for them to catch. So I mean, if you light it once and then put it out, you'll see there's different brands and different types of flames, and you'll see which one works. The bottom line is the husband should make sure that it's ready to go, and the wife will have no problems when she's lighting it. That's the bottom line. So it doesn't, there's no exactly one way what the husband has to do, depending on the type of light that you have, but he has to make sure that when the wife is there, she just puts the flame to the candle and it catches and finishes. There's nothing else she has to worry about. Okay, now, point number four,
Just a quick question on that though. Is there, besides the fact of the concern of butane running out, but because it's probably not part of our Masorah, of using a lighter, does it matter or what you use to ignite?
We're going to talk about that in a minute. It's one of the points over here. You got to light something. right? You're lighting either a match or you're lighting the candles or whatever. The better custom is, and you'll see it's one of the points here, to light a candle, and then a candle should light the other things. It's more respectable, so to speak. In other words, you've lit the candle, and now this candle is the one, like a shamash, so to speak. And I'm not saying the other ways are wrong. Any way you light it is okay. But the nicest way, the more beautiful way, is if you have a candle, and that's your special lighting candle, and you use that to light all the others. And it works a lot better. If you have a match, right, how far can you go with one match? After one or two, it burns out. And even with the lighters are tricky things. So the simplest way is to light a candle, and then with the candle, it's never a problem. And you light the other candles, and then that other candle, you could either put it to the side, or you can have it be extinguished. We'll talk about it in a minute. But that would be the nicest way to do that.
So this candle that we light to, is we extinguish it?
So that's what we're going to talk about shortly. It's not a major player, and we'll see there's different customs, and we'll get to that. Okay. Now, point five, and obviously there's tremendous rewards. The Talmud says anyone who regularly fulfills the mitzvah of lighting candles will have children that are Torah scholars, and all kinds of blessings come to a home in which candles are lit for Shabbos. Unbelievable blessings the rabbis talk about. Now, in point five, the mitzvah of kindling the lights has devolved upon the woman of the house. The rabbis explained to us that since Chava was a bit responsible for the first sin of mankind, and the rabbis used the terminology that the light of the world was extinguished because mortality came to the world. So therefore, as a correction, so to speak, she lights candles to show I'm trying to illuminate the world once again. Now the Zohar says that a woman should rejoice over being able to kindle these lights. And the Satmar Rav says that a woman, as we mentioned last week, a woman should wear all her jewelry when she lights the Shabbos candles, should be dressed in all her splendor, as if, as we mentioned last week, just like as if she's going to a wedding, that's how she should be dressed when she's lighting the Shabbos candles. That's how special the occasion is, because that's mamish bringing in the Shabbos. And everything we're talking about, where we're recognizing the soul that is coming in, the extra soul is coming into the home, And those candles that are rising up are beckoning each and every one of us to rise higher in our spiritual development. So certainly it's a very special occasion, and a woman should be dressed very appropriately for a very special time of the week. Okay. Now there are many other customs. Now these customs aren't laws, but they're nice customs. And if you can do it, it's good. And if you can't, it's also fine. It's customary for a woman to wear a white kerchief and a white apron when kindling the Shabbos lights. It's custom. And the reason they give is as follows. Remember, white's always a good color. We have white on the tablecloths and everything we talked about last week about white. But it's interesting, the Hebrew word for a veil in Hebrew is tse'if, tzadi ayin yud fe. The numerical value of the word tse'if is 250. Now, the Hebrew word for a light is ner. And Nair's numerical value is 250. So you see there's a connection between the tse'if, the veil, and the light. And furthermore, the word tse'if, the letters, tsadi, ayin, yud, fe, when you reverse them, they start the sentence that says, Amcha Yisrael, that's an ayin and a yud, your Jewish people, tsrichin parnosa, need parnosa. That's, if you take the word veil, the tse'if, those first letters, they become the acronym for Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa. Your Jewish will need Parnasa. And we know the rabbis say when you light candles on Shabbos, it brings down the blessings for the week as well. And that obviously helps the Parnasa for the week. So if you're worried about Parnasa, there's always all kinds of good things to do. And one of them is to make sure you light the candles properly. And when you're wearing that kerchief and you're wearing that apron, that reminds you of the concepts that are involved and that are behind this. And obviously, the Parnassa is blessed because you're putting your trust in Hashem by keeping the Shabbos, and you're keeping it in the most beautiful way, and you believe that God is the Creator, and you're showing your bitachon and trust in Hashem. That's always a good thing for Parnassa. So therefore, it became customary for women to wear these things. If you do, it's beautiful, and if not, you know, it's not the end of the world, but the Hasidim are very particular about that. Now,
what is the eighth?
It's a similar Hebrew word. It's the wording. It's the wording. The way the Hebrew wording and the letters, and an apron, we know, the Kohen Gadol wore an apron. So, and a wife, we know, is really the Kohen Gadol of the house. Right? Kohen Gadol of the house. Kohanim lit the candles in the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a lot of correlation between the wife in the home and the Kohanim. You know, Kohanim, people think, wow, Kohanim, they were really special people, right? And women are like not special. Because Nebuch, women are relegated to the house. And the Kohanim, they're special, they give me the Beis HaMikdash. You gotta realize, Kohanim were housebound to the Beis HaMikdash. They're housebound to the Beis HaMikdash. And everyone knows a Jewish home is like a miniature sanctuary. So the Kohanim who were busy hovering around the sanctuary, they were like the housewives of the sanctuary. And the housewife in the house is exactly doing the work that a Kohen does. So Kohen wore an apron too. So Kohen wears an apron as well. So that's all part of the preparations for lighting candles.
All the people who didn't sin at the golden calf.
Yeah, women didn't sin at the golden calf. The Kohanim didn't sin at the golden calf. There's a lot of correlations between those things. Okay, point seven. It's a mitzvah to give tzedakah with joy before lighting the Shabbos candles. And it's customary for women to put coins in a charity box before they light, and for mystical reasons, we're told that they light three small coins to tzedakah. I don't know the reason behind that. I didn't, but that's the rabbis say for mystical reasons, give three coins for tzedakah, and that is before you start Shabbos. I mean, obviously, Shabbos is a time of divine giving. Hashem is going to be bestowing all kinds of gifts for us on Shabbos. So it makes sense to be a recipient of God's giving. You should be similar to that. You should be giving like God gives. And if you're giving tzedakah, that's obviously a level that makes you worthy of being the beneficiary of God's tzedakah, of the extra soul and the extra blessings that Shabbos brings into the house. As well, when the woman lights the candles, afterwards she prays for her husband and children. You look in the Arutz Scroll Siddur, they give you the text of those prayers. There's a lot of beautiful prayers that women say at this time. Now, you also gotta be sure when you light the candles, you're lighting them where you want them to stay for the entire Shabbos. You don't light them in one place and then pick them up and move them to another place and put them there unless out of absolute necessity. But generally, you light them where you plan on them staying over the entire Shabbos. And obviously, the preferred place for the Shabbos candles to be, although for technical reasons you may not want to do it, the preferred place would be on the Shabbos table. That would be the preferred place because that's where everyone's eating. However, if, for example, you have little children who you know, walk on the table or pull tablecloths down, which is not unusual, and that could create a fire hazard, or you know when you light the candles, those candles cannot be moved off the table the entire Shabbos, and if you're planning on changing the plastic that's underneath there, you wouldn't be able to because there's big problems with that candlestick right on top of that. So therefore, many people will light it on the buffet in that same room. So it's in the room, but it gives light into the room. Now again, if you have a very small room and you don't have room for that, if you have to, you can light it in another room. But it's the best, obviously, to have it in the room where you are eating. That is certainly the best thing to do. If it's at all possible. Okay, now, when do we light the candles? So there's different customs as to when we light the candles. Some say 15 minutes before sunset, some say 18 minutes before sunset, some say 20 minutes before sunset. It's based on all kinds of technical reasons. There's certain opinions who feel that that really twilight is earlier than we have twilight. There's all kinds of arguments in the Talmud exactly when to consider the day over. Most people, almost all the rabbis say, we don't even consider it until sunset. And then it's a question, sunset till the stars come out. But there is a minority opinion that says about 13 minutes earlier, Shabbos has really started. We don't hold like that opinion, but to be concerned with that opinion, and we mentioned last week, you have to add a couple minutes to Shabbos anyway, so if we get these different opinions of 15, 18, 20, And our custom, the time you'll see in the bulletin that we send is always the 18-minute opinion. So that's when you really should be lighting the candles. A woman should be lighting the candles 18 minutes before the sun sets. It's always very confusing. When you see candle lighting time, people always are confused, and they confuse that with sunset. And that is not sunset. As we said, Shabbos really starts at sunset. We already learned last week there's a mitzvah to add at least 2 minutes to Shabbos to not wait till the last minute. And there's the idea of candle lighting is 18 minutes before the sun sets. Now, what's the difference? The difference is like this. What if for whatever reason the woman of the house made a mistake and it's now 10 minutes before sunset? It's after candle lighting, but it's 10 minutes before sunset. It's 8 minutes after candle lighting. Let's say last week candle lighting was at 4:36, whatever it was. Let's say it was 4:36. And now you're looking, it's 4:46. I missed counting in 10 minutes. What am I going to do? So the truth of the matter is, it's really not Shabbos yet. Because Shabbos isn't until 18 minutes after candle lighting, and that's when sunset, that would have been 4:54. So you still have 8 minutes till it's prohibited to activities. So then the woman can definitely still light the candles. That's a very important rule, because sometimes we make a mistake. It's after candle lighting, and it's too late. So that's not true. I mean, it's not preferred what has happened, but certainly she should light the candles up till about 2 minutes before sunset. So that's a very important thing to remember. A lot of times somebody's coming late from work for whatever reason. So you don't have to be in the door by candle lighting, but you have to be in the door at least 2 minutes before the sun sets. Certainly women should not take advantage of this information that they know of, thinking, oh, I've got a couple more minutes anyway. That's when you usually get yourself into trouble. When you figure, well, okay, now the rabbi told me it's 18 minutes. It's really 18 minutes before I really have to do it, and really I have another 15 minutes, so I'll take advantage of that, especially in the winter. What happens is you begin to push back that final minutes, and you begin to feel that only 2-3 minutes before sunset is the optimal time, and then when you miss that by a couple minutes, then you're finished. And that's when the problems happen. That's when ladies call me and say, you know, I was taking a few of those minutes, and that's when she couldn't find the matches, and she didn't have enough time that's what happens. So that, of course, once in a while, you have to use it. Let's say you forgot to put the food in the oven. And it's now time candle lighting. Well, no, I'm gonna light the candles and we'll have 18 minutes before Shabbos and we'll have cold food. Not a smart idea, especially if a husband who likes to eat. Okay? So you say, okay, I'm gonna spend 5 minutes to get the food in the oven and I'll light candles a few minutes later. But, really your goal is 18 minutes before when you see candlelight, that's when you really wanna light, that's when you wanna take in the Shabbos. But if for any reason you couldn't do it, as we say, an extreme emergency, you still have 2 minutes before sunset. So you always have about 15 minutes after the posted candle lighting in our bulletin. If an emergency comes up, you can still do activities, but not light the candles. Yeah.
About a minute, 60 seconds, or
you're a 60 about second minute, a real minute, yeah. A real minute.
That's
yeah.
My question.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Excellent. Now, how about, what if you want to light the candles earlier? Yeah, you're ready, decided, you're not gonna go to work on Erev Shabbos, right, from last week's class, and you find yourself, it's an hour before Shabbos, and you're ready. Your mama's ready. Everything's 100% ready. So, like, why delay? And the midst of adding on to Shabbos isn't like, 2 minutes is the minimum. It's not the maximum. 2 minutes is the minimum. So what if you want to make it earlier? So the rabbis say you can bring in the Shabbos 1 1/4 halachic hours before sunset. The terminology for that is called plag, P-L-A-G, plag hamincha, which if you have a chart,
this past Friday it was 3:55.
Alright, so 3:55. It'll vary. In the summertime that 1 1/4 hours could be about 90 minutes, and in the winter 1 1/4 hours would be about sometimes 60 minutes, depending on what time of the year you're dealing with. But that's the earliest you can light candles, not earlier than that. So in the summertime, for example, when Shabbos, the very late Shabbos, and the earliest you could light is like 7:27. And people want to start Shabbos at 6 o'clock. You don't want to have dinner at 6:30. You can't, because in the dead of the summer, when the sun doesn't set till after 9 o'clock, so 1 1/4 hours at best is 7:27. So therefore, if you would light any earlier, so you're going to ask, so what's wrong? So what's wrong? So I did it earlier. The answer is when we see the sun like way up there, 1 1/4 hours, it's coming close to the horizon. But beyond 1 1/4 hours, I mean, it's up there. And in that last 1 1/4 hour, there's a lot of descent that happens. But if it's before 1 1/4 hours, it doesn't even look like a Shabbos. If you're lighting candles, you wouldn't even know you're lighting it for Shabbos. It's so light outside. It has to be at least within the zone that the sun is in the setting mode already, where we can say, oh, they're lighting the candles for Shabbos. So if you light them for any reason before 1 1/4 hours halachic hours for a sunset, you'd have to relight afterwards with a bruch and everything, because the candlelighting was a waste, totally. You said God's name in vain, and you shouldn't do this. So in the summer, as Jeff puts in the bulletin, that's why we write earliest candle time, because that's 1 1/4 hours, and then we write latest candle time, which is the 18 minutes before sunset. In the winter time, I don't think we have to worry about earliest candle lighting. But in the summer, it's a major issue, and there are certain times you cannot light before 7:27. That's the earliest time to light. Yeah?
What if you've daven mincha all along, but then you're in a rush to do both? So
okay, we're going to talk about that. We're going to get to that. Okay, yeah?
Is there an issue that you can, this week you want to bring it early, next week late? You have to be consistent?
You don't have to be consistent. If you want to bring it in early one time, you want to bring it late the next time, that's not a problem. Just can't do it on the same day. Yeah.
So say you light the candles in one room, and now taking the class, you know that you have to sit, you have to have it in on the dining room table.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to move the candle now since you've already had it in one place? Like I was.
Yeah. If I had it last week in one room, this I'm not forced to keep it all the time in that room.
Oh, okay. I thought you were supposed to always keep it in the same place when you first light.
No such thing that you have to light. If you lit it in one place the first week of your marriage, you have to light that way. You can light wherever you want to go. But if you decide, or if you decide to eat in the kitchen one week, you can eat in the dining room the next week. You know, that 1 week is not the best. I mean, generally speaking, you will develop a routine. And generally speaking, you're eating in the dining room, and generally speaking, you're going to be lighting in the dining room. But again, let's say someone has you're in an apartment, you have a small dining room, and you don't have a place for it, so you'll light another place. But 1 week does not determine what the next week has to be, and if you can optimally light it in the dining room, no, you should light it in the dining room. Yeah?
Just going to do this time issue, sort of two-part question. A, for the man, what is about the concept of the man taking on Shabbos for himself in the actual Mishnah Berurah Shirli Yom HaShabbat? And secondly, for the woman, can she...
I don't understand. What's the question?
I thought that there was an idea, a concept that...
A man brings it in when he says Mishnah Berurah Shirli on Shabbos, yeah. Correct.
Right.
So what's the question?
So the question is there could be a long gap of time there, right? So is he allowed to do the various halachas?
Once he's done Kabbalah Shabbos?
Well, he hasn't done it yet. Like, he's not going to do that until he's well into his davening, right? He's not going to say that.
Right.
So that, from that point of him leaving the home to getting to shul and saying that, there's quite a gap. Time.
So, in other words, you're saying the wife has accepted Shabbos before him?
Right.
So we learned last week that that's not a problem. The wife can bring in Shabbos.
He's asking if you can do malacha.
Yeah, because you can...
It's after sunset.
Is it before or after sunset?
It's after sunset.
Once it's sunset, Shabbos has come regardless of what you're doing.
So what's the idea of the concept of taking in Shabbos on that prayer?
Okay, now I understand the question. Okay, I get the question now. So Ron's asking like this. It's a little bit off this topic, but it's in the general topic of bringing in Shabbos. So Ron's asking like this. A man on Shabbos, he brings in Shabbos when he prays Kabbalah Shabbos, and when he comes to Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos, that's the official bringing in of Shabbos. Okay? So, in the summertime, that works really well. because in the summertime people bring in Shabbos earlier, so that works really well. If you're davening at 7 o'clock and the sun doesn't set till 9 o'clock and your Kabbalah Shabbos is about at 7:40, so you brought in Shabbos an hour and a quarter early. That's really nice, and that makes a lot of sense. Ron's saying in a typical winter day, where you start Mincha 18 minutes before, you bring in Shabbos. So by the time you finish with Mincha, and you're just starting Kabbalah Shabbos, and you don't get to Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos till probably 25 minutes to a half an hour after the sun has set. So what's the point of bringing, of saying you've brought in the Shabbos at that time? So the truth of the matter is, Ron, you can't wait that long. And you're bringing up a good issue. And therefore, the halach is as follows. For men who go to shul and daven Mincha, they have to make sure to verbally say that they are bringing in the Shabbos before sunset. Either in Hebrew or in English, you will say, so let's assume you started Mincha 18 minutes before sunset. Mincha takes 50 minutes, and it's 3 minutes before sunset. At that point, you in Hebrew say, Hare ani mekabel olai tosefa Shabbos. Or in English, I accept upon myself the additional bringing in of Shabbos. You say, I'm bringing in Shabbos now. You'd have to do that, because you have to bring in the Shabbos a couple minutes earlier. If you're gonna, and therefore the Kabbalah Shabbos is greeting the Shabbos, but the real Mizmor Shir really is superfluous in terms of it being the bringing in of the Shabbos. Okay? And it no longer is bringing in the Shabbos for you under that circumstance. The truth of the matter is, 1,000 years ago, there was no such tefillah of Kabbalah Shabbos. This whole Kabbalah Shabbos was created by the Chachmei Tzfat about 500 years ago. You go back 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, you didn't have that whole mystical Kabbalah Shabbos service. And then the rabbi said, well, you bring your Shabbos when you say Baruch Hu et Maariv. So it becomes what's customary, so to speak. And generally, guy's going to shul, he's saying Kabbalah Shabbos. And he's going to say, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. You figure he'd be wanting to bring in the Shabbos at that point in the game. Right? When we didn't have that prayer, so when he said Baruch Hu, the evening prayer, you figure he's bringing in the Shabbos with that. So now, these are beautiful tefillos. And Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos is a beautiful tefillah in and of itself. It's a beautiful way to have it in the beginning of Shabbos. And even if you already accepted the Shabbos, it's still a wonderful prayer. But now it's what it accomplishes for you in the winter is something different than what it accomplishes for you in the summer. And therefore you have to be careful to accept the Shabbos before the sun sets in shul. And let's say, for example, take it further, let's say Mincha doesn't start on time, or let's say Mincha takes a long time. So you'd have to, let's say, when you finish your quiet Shmon Esrei, and before the repetition, and you realize by the time the repetition is over, we're already going into Shabbos, you'd have to say, I'm accepting upon me the Shabbos after the silent Shmon Esrei. But what could you not do, if you want to really play safe, rising, well, let's play safe, I'll accept the Shabbos before I daven Mincha. but you can't do that. Why? Because Mincha is for before Shabbos. You can't do that. Which will lead us to the question that you're going to get to in a minute. It's going to be here, so we'll get to that question. Alright, so that kind of was, now that's clear? So it serves a different function. The truth of the matter is, the real truth, I mean, we're not on this level in North America to do this. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, they have candle lighting at least 30 minutes.
Yes, 40.
40 minutes before Shabbos.
Yeah.
So that is, for many reasons, sunset is very quick in Eretz Yisrael. It's very quick. It goes down very fast. So they do, you know, in those last 20 minutes, that thing can set, lickety quick, catch you off guard. So they do it 40 minutes before, and I would imagine in many of the shuls, men go to shul then. So they could even get to Mizmor Shir before. All right. So that's something, in a perfect world, Ron, even in the winter, we would start Mincha an hour before Shabbos. In a perfect world. There's no reason why one wouldn't. But we've got problems with work, this and that. But that would be the best thing. And Kabbalah Shabbos is well before Shabbos has come. But, you know, we have to live how we live, and it's hard. Yeah.
So basically what you're saying, if a woman wants to daven Kabbalah Shabbat at home, should she light? And then
so we're going to get to, please wait a couple minutes. It's in here. It's in the text. We're going to get to it. I will get to answer both questions. Okay, just please bear with me. We'll get there. Okay, we're on which number now? 13. It's customary for the wife to begin kindling two lights when you're married, first married, two lights, one for the husband, one for the wife, and to kindle an additional light for each child that is born. That's the custom. Okay? It's not the law, but that's a custom that's pretty well accepted. The only exception is if, let's say, a woman goes out of town and is staying by guests, and she's a guest, and if she has, let's say, 12 kids and she lights 14 candles, she might not want to burden her hostess with 14 candles. And usually women, when they're guests, they only light two candles, no matter how many candles they have to light. Now,
do you still say the bracha, or do you take on the bracha of what they did?
The custom is that women make the bracha. Every woman makes her own bracha. That's the custom. Now, if for any reason the wife cannot light the Shabbos lights, we don't care what the reason is. It could be she's not well. It could be she lost track of time and she's in the shower and the husband's seeing she's not going to make it. Whatever the situation is, the husband should light. In other words, it's a mitzvah that the family should have Shabbos candles. The wife is first responsibility. If for any reason the wife isn't doing it, the husband shouldn't. Let's say the wife stepped out for a minute to a friend to borrow something, and she just forgot about the time. Okay, it's possible. And the husband's there, and the husband doesn't light. And then the wife comes home after Shabbos, and the husband says, well, I can't light. You're supposed to light. No, the husband lights. You've got to make sure they're there. So if, for example, if let's say a husband has a wife, who's a wonderful woman, but her sense of time isn't the best. And the husband, you know, gently, the Gemara says a husband has to say three things before Shabbos comes in. And one of the things he tells his wife is, it's time to light the candles. In a nice, pleasant way, the husband's supposed to gently tell the wife, it's time to light candles. So, what if the wife isn't getting around to it? So I found a very good technique. You just say to your wife like this, dear, would you want me to light the candles for you today? And just a hint of that, there's no wife who will let the husband light the candles and chop her mitzvah away from her, and that will very quickly get her to be there. You'll say, well, dear, I see you, and I'll do it right now, and I'll take away the stress from you because I see you. It's doing it in a very nice way, not a cynical way. And so I'll just help you out and I'll light the candles because I see you're not ready. And all of a sudden, boom, she's down the stairs in 15 seconds and she's lighting the candles. But you have to be very careful. It's really very bad if a house does not light the candles on time. And it's not unusual for that to happen. If one isn't really focused, it's especially in the winter times, you lose track of time. You know, the phone rings and it's your mother from out of town and it was her anniversary and you start schmoozing and you know, you lose track of time. It's a human thing. And therefore, the husband has to be the gatekeeper to make sure, in other words, the husband's responsible to make sure that the wife's doing it. And he has to do what it takes to remind the wife. So if ever candles aren't lit, the wife doesn't really get the blame. Really, the husband gets the blame. Because the wife will say, why didn't you tell me? You're supposed to have it set up. You're supposed to be reminding me. And if the husband doesn't remind, that's a problem. And therefore, I have it written somewhere, the custom is that the husband usually should not go to shul until he sees the wife light the candles. Where this is possible. Let's say in the winter, right? So and therefore you're going to light a little bit before 18 minutes now, you see. What's going to happen is if minchas 18 minutes before, it takes you 5 minutes to get to shul. You know, it's not a good idea for the husband to say, okay, dear, light the candles in 5 minutes and then you leave. Because who knows what's going on in the house. There'll be two babies that are screaming and this one and that one, and the wife just loses track. So really, the husband should make sure that the wife has lit the candles before he goes to shul. And that ensures that it's not a problem. That ensures. Now again, you have to balance that. Is she have enough time? That means you're lighting candles about 25 minutes before the sun is set, because the husband doesn't want to be late for mincha, right? But you got to balance the needs. But that is an important thing to be aware of. Yeah.
What happens if the wife is fine with lighting the candles on time, but the husband has to go to the shul?
So again, it would be a better again. 99 out of 100 times it won't be a problem, but I think 100 times is less than 2 years, and it can happen. I get called frequently about this, you know, in a, from a community, I forgot to light the candles, you know, because of this excuse and that excuse, and now what do I do, et cetera, et cetera. And it's usually because you don't follow these few rigid rules. If you would always follow this rule, it would never, the rule is, you don't, the husband doesn't leave till the candles are lit, you'll never have a problem. Right? You're right, the husband will go, and the wife's fine with it, and 99 or 100 times it's not a problem, but there could be that one time, and then what do you do with the one time? Then it was a Shabbos without lighting candles. It's terrible. It's terrible. Right? And the halacha is, if a woman forgets to light candles, and it was out of negligence, we're not talking she was sick, we're not talking that this and that. We had one time in our marriage, we had to go, Ramesh, 2 hours before Shabbos, before we had any kids, we had to go to a hospital, and we were in the hospital for Shabbos, so we didn't light any candles. Okay, that's not your problem. Hashem doesn't expect anything if you can't do it. But sometimes, you just forget. You know, by the time you notice, boom, it was too late. Right? Then a woman has to light an extra candle for the rest of her life. That's a big punishment. I mean, that's a severe punishment, to have to light another candle for the rest of her life. And sometimes it's even embarrassing, because people usually know, let's say you're a woman, you have three kids. And never do this. I'm warning you, never do this. Let's say you go to a home, they invited you for Shabbos, and you know the woman has three kids, and you count six candles. Don't ask, why do you have six candles? You have three kids, right? You know, like, did you make a mistake? And then the guy said, well, yeah, I forgot one. You know, it's very embarrassing. So, but it always will be a reminder. Now you're lighting six candles and not five. And, you know, there are women who maybe forgot two or three times and they have to keep adding a candle. So the rabbis feel that's a good penalty that they shouldn't forget. But even with that, women still forget. So that's why I'm saying, if you're wondering, why am I being so, concerned? You know, it's for that reason, because you can make that mistake, and it happens. And that's why if you want to avoid it, it's always good, light a little earlier before the husband leaves. Now, if there's a lot of, you know, even if there's, let's say there's a lot of women in the house, if we other people to remind, it might be better, but still, you know, men in general, I'm not, the Torah acknowledges men in general are better with time than women are. In general, they're different strengths. And the woman lights the candle because she can have infinitely better kavana than any husband who's lighting a candle, and that's why the woman lights the candle. But because she's into her kavanas, you know, she could have a child with a crisis 10 minutes before candle lighting, and the mother will talk to the kid for half an hour trying to solve a problem before she knows that she missed candle lighting. The husband, on the other hand, he's always aware of time. He's always aware of time. And while the mother is coddling the child, the husband will say, I'm sorry, dear, as much as you want to give the baby attention, you must light the candles now, and then you'll light the candles. So that's why it's a good balance where the husband provides one aspect of the candle lighting and the wife the other. Yeah.
If the husband lights, does he accept the Shabbos?
Okay, so if and when the husband does light, he does not accept the Shabbos because it's understood that he still has to daven mincha, because he always davens mincha, and then it's understood that when he's lighting, he is not meaning to bring in the Shabbos. And that's why you will see he will light candle. When he lights, it's different than when a woman lights, as you'll see in a minute when we get to that. Yeah?
Is there also a concept that, let's say, for example, I'll give you a scenario where the husband may have a long walk to shul, right? But he wants to be with his wife to light the candles. So he's there, but it's going to be really rushed for him to get there for mincha. So is there an idea that the woman can light the candles, but in her mind, not take on Shabbos?
Yeah, okay, we're going to talk about that. Generally, you don't like women to do that unless they have to. Again, you have to look at every situation on its own merit. There could be exceptions to the rule. If the husband has to go an hour to walk to shul, it's not practical what I'm suggesting over here. So you might have to, she might have to light on her own. Okay, we'll talk about women and conditions shortly. Yeah.
So the husband lights the candle and doesn't accept Shabbos.
Yeah.
Is the woman allowed to say a blessing even though she doesn't light?
No, once the husband lit, you can't light it twice. Once there are candles lit in the house, the candles are lit in the house. It's not the end of the world, so the husband lit one Shabbos. Not terrible. Whatever.
Does that mean that she has to then...
Let's say the wife's not feeling well. Wife's not feeling well. She took a nap 2 o'clock Friday afternoon, and she has a terrible fever, and the husband has rachmanas on her. Let her sleep. She's weak. and it's time to light, so the husband lights. It's not the end of the world if a husband has to light. It's not a terrible thing.
So then the next Shabbos she has to light an extra
candle? No. The only time you light an extra candle if the entire household forgot to light. If the entire household. You know, the husband comes home from shul and there's no candles lit. And the sun has set. Then it's a problem. If the husband lights, the main thing is the house should have candles lit. The wife, the one, it should be the one doing it. If she doesn't, the husband does it, it's still fine. The candles were lit. That's not a problem. Yeah?
Can you light candles for a daughter-in-law, son-in-law, niece?
Can you light for anyone else? The custom is not to, because there's usually someone else lighting for them. A daughter-in-law is lighting her own candles.
A son-in-law
has a wife who's lighting candles for him. Generally speaking, there's someone lighting for all those other people. I know of some people, there's somebody that they light for their grandchildren too. But there's nothing wrong with lighting more candles. I'm not going to say if you want to light for your son, it's not right. It's you're not doing any avera. It's just not necessary. Maybe let's say a person has a daughter who doesn't light candles, and has a son-in-law who doesn't light candles. And, okay, you want to light for them? Light for them. It's okay. I mean, it's irregular, but you can do it. If the person likes to do it, they can do it.
It's a single girl who's lighting before she gets married.
I don't want to get bogged down onto these technicalities, but let's say quickly, a single girl who's lighting before she gets married in her mother? In her own house?
It doesn't matter if her mother's there or not.
Let's say a single woman on her own,
in her own apartment,
let's say, has to light candles. Every Jewish home, you have to light candles.
And so
let's say, I understand your question. So let's say there's a mother who has three daughters. Okay? a woman and a husband have three daughters. So the woman's been lighting five candles for the first 20 years of their marriage. And slowly, each one of these three single daughters moves into another apartment. And they live in three separate houses. So this lady will forever light five candles. Your children are always your children. But these women will be lighting on their own. Will be lighting on their own, in their own house.
That was my question. The single girl, who, let's say she forgot one, so she now has to light one more each time. Does the count start again when she gets married? Mm.
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that question. I'd have to look.
I'm thinking of a single guy who may have forgotten once.
I tried to figure almost every. You know, a guy forgets.
A single guy who forgot once in a while.
When he gets married, his wife will light. So it's a good question. I'd have to look that up. You stumped me. You stumped me on one. You stumped me on one. I mean, I'd hear a svara from logic. I'm just saying logic. I would say that perhaps she wouldn't have to. Because you know, when you get married, it's like your own Yom Kippur, you do tshuva and all your averas are forgiven, so probably that'll be forgiven and she can start fresh. I would imagine that would be a good svara. It's okay, that's a good question. Good question. Okay, let's continue. 15. The mitzvah is done to perfection when one uses olive oil. That's the best way. The reason again is obvious. Any kindling that's mentioned in the Torah was always with olive oil. In the Beis Hamikdash, the Hanukkah story, everything olive oil for all the mystical reasons what olives represent and why the Torah is so particular about olives and it's supposed to have one of the most beautiful flames as well. And you have that flickering that you have with oil as opposed to candles. So that is really the best way. And if you want to beautify the mitzvah, olive oil is the way to go. There's all kinds of ways you can buy it, but there's little receptacles, you put oil in, there's all kinds of fancy things now that make it much easier, and that would be the nicest way. However, certainly a plain old wax candle that gives you a good flame is also very acceptable as well, but it's not the most beautiful, but it's acceptable. The Arizal says you should try at least for two of the candles to have olive oil, even if the rest are candles. And that'll be like a compromise, so to speak. Now, we mentioned 16 already. We learned that already. Now, 17 was one of the questions we had over here. After kindling the lights, so let's first give you the play-by-play. What is the custom of what women do when they light the candles? There's a problem with lighting candles. Normally, the halacha is, before you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha, and then you do the mitzvah. That's the rule. Bracha, mitzvah. So what would the normal rules say over here, Friday night? The woman should make the bracha, share kiddushon sabbos lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, and then to light the candles. The problem is once she says the bracha, right? It's like she's brought in Shabbos, and then she can't light the candles because you've made the bracha already. It's like I'm accepting the Shabbos with that bracha alone. Those words itself are saying I'm making Shabbos. So then how can she light the candles? So that's a big problem. So therefore, the custom is what we do is the woman lights the candles first and then makes the bracha. That gets her out of the problem. Yeah, but that's still a little bit weird because you're supposed to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. So what happens is what the woman does, she lights the candles and then there's this three-step process. She lights the candles, then she places her hands in front of the lights, and then she encircles the lights, and then she covers her hands, her eyes with her hands, you know, and then she's making the, at that moment she makes the bracha. So it's like she, and then she, now she looks, oh, now's the light. So it's like now the bracha is before the kindling. Because the real mitzvah isn't so much the kindling, because the real mitzvah is to have candles lit. Why are we lighting candles? Well, that's what, I light the candles, I don't look at them the rest of the Shabbos. I defeated the purpose. The whole purpose is to have light. Right? So, so the fact that I'm lighting it, what if I could be like, you know, the lady on the show Bewitched, you know, remember years ago, she twinkled her nose and everything happened, right? So technically, if you could twiggle your nose and make the candles light, it wouldn't be a whole Shabbos, I guess. Right? And it would be done. So what we're doing is, she lit it. That's nothing. It's happened to be lit. Now I have my hands here. I go like this, and I cover my eyes. Okay, now I don't have any light. I have no light at all. So I make a bracha. Now I make a bracha. Ah, there are the lights. And that way we're able to accomplish that goal. That's very nice. Now, remember, we said one of the reasons we light the candle is for domestic peace. So there's a lot of beautiful symbolism over here. When the woman covers holds her hands over her eyes, and it's dark, at that moment it's suggestive of no domestic peace, because it's dark. But as soon as she removes her hands and says the bracha, now the shalom bayis comes into the house. See, now the shalom bayis comes into the house. So that is the method to do this. And at this point, she has brought in the sanctity of the Shabbos and is prohibited from doing any halachically defined. Let me finish. I'm probably going to get to your question. And if I don't, then I'll take your question. And then at that point, she's prohibited from doing any halachically defined work on Shabbos. She could set the table still and that kind of, that's not work per se, but she cannot do any work. And technically, if she doesn't do anything else, she could not daven mincha. Because at that point, Shabbos has been accepted. But wait a minute, we'll get to a point. Now, let's move on. But that's clear. You understand that whole concept of why we're doing lighting and then covering our eyes and then making the bracha and then revealing it so we're able to see that. And just questions on that point alone. Yeah?
Why do you do it three times?
I don't know if it's three times. You know, that's already whatever you want to do. You know, it's that there's no rules how many, you know, went to a whole. Now that's what they bring down from Kabbalah to do it. I mean, technically just covering the eyes enough, but that's the tradition that's been handed down to put your hand in front of the eyes and then to encircle the candles, kind of trying to bring the kedusha. It's a kind of spiritual movement, and then you cover the eyes completely. And the main thing is to cover the eyes. Yeah.
Okay, so some people have a custom of saying personal prayers.
So say the personal prayers afterwards.
So why are you asking for personal prayers after you've lit?
Because you're looking right at the candles.
But you've accepted Shabbos and there's no requests on Shabbos.
Those aren't personal. You're not those kinds of personal prayers. Personal prayers, those are spiritual prayers. You're praying for your children to be scholars. You're praying your children should get married. Those are spiritual requests. You're not praying for $1 million. You know, you're not praying to get a raise at work. It's not those kind of prayers. If you look, the prayers are that your children should be God-fearing, they should run after doing mitzvahs, they should love Torah, they should love, your daughter should marry a Talmud Chacham. If you look at the prayer, it's more of a Shabbos type of prayer that's there.
So you should not be doing it at the time that you're doing the prayer for the candles. You should only be doing it afterwards. some people that like do it at the time that they cover
do
their
what?
Eyes. They say personal prayers.
But usually, what you do is after you've made the bracha, then you do the personal prayers. That's the way it's traditionally
before
done.
Before you see the candles, or you see
after to the light of the candles, you say the prayer. You're going to read the prayer. You got your eyes covered. You made the bracha. Now you can see the candles. Now you have light. Now you take a sitter. Now you say the prayer. That's a very logical progression.
Well, if you have them memorized, would you say it in your mind?
If you want to. I mean, again, until you're really looking at the candles, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah yet. So we want you to have fulfilled the mitzvah. And from that spiritual moment, the real spiritual moment is when your eyes make contact with that flame. That's the magical moment. And at that time, there's a tremendous spiritual moment, and that's the time to say the prayers, not before. Because you're looking at the candles. It's very, very, Kabbalistically, a very important thing to look at those candles as much as you can. And specifically, look at the candle. Remember, that's your soul. And a much more soulful prayer will come out if you're looking at those candles and the imagery, and as you're looking at them, if you know it by heart, you should be looking at the candles and saying the prayer. That would even be better. That would be the optimal way to do it. Yeah?
Do you cover your eyes on Yom Tov?
Let's not get into Yom Tov. There's all kinds of different things. There's no reason why you couldn't. It's a whole machlokas of it. I don't want to get into that. We'll save Yom Tov for Yom Tov classes. But there are opinions you do the same way. Many say you do the same way. Okay, now, 18. When kindling the lights, the woman should set fire to most of the wick so that the flame will be burning well by the time she removes her hand after completing the lighting. In other words, she has to make sure that every wick has caught properly, because what you don't want to happen is she lights it, moves one to the next, and then some of those wicks are struggling, and then she makes a bracha and opens her eyes, and guess what? Three of them are out. And then she's stuck, because she's already brought in the Shabbos and the candles are out. Now if the husband's still home, he could fix it. But if not, it's a problem. So you make sure they're really well lit before you're going to make any brachas. Now we come to your point. Under certain circumstances, a woman may delay the acceptance of Shabbos until just before sunset, even though she already lit the candles. Under those certain circumstances, in other words, she knows when it's, now she has time to light the candles, in 20 minutes she won't. And she has to do something that she's not allowed to do on Shabbos, and she has to do that between the lighting of the candles and until it's Shabbos. Let's say she has to drive to the mikveh. Let's say the mikveh is very far away. She wants to she lights candles, drive to the shul, park the car before sunset, and then, or the mikveh, and then she can go to the mikveh, right? Or let's say she has to go to shul for whatever reason, and she has to drive to shul. So there are, generally you don't want a woman to do this unless it's really special circumstances, but let's say she really doesn't want that lighting the candle to have her bring in the Shabbos. So she is permitted to make a stipulation, to make a condition, that she is not accepting the Shabbos with the lighting of these candles. She can say that either she says it verbally or mentally in her mind, that in spite of the fact I'm lighting the candles, I'm not bringing in the Shabbos. At that point, she has not brought in the Shabbos, but the candles are lit. Remember, the main thing is that there's candles in the house. That's the mitzvah. The lighting is just the means to make sure that they're lit. Of course, we'd like you to light. You shouldn't ask other people to light. But so therefore, if I light earlier, that's fine. That's fine, as long as it's not way too early before you're allowed to light. But if you've lit at a proper time, because I don't want to accept Shabbos yet. When I'll come back from the mikveh, the candles are still there, then I will enjoy the candles as well. So under those circumstances, now, or let's say she wants to daven mincha. You see? Because once she lights the candles and accepts Shabbos, she can't daven mincha. So, but if she's going to daven mincha, she could get very spiritually involved, and maybe by the time she finishes mincha, if she didn't light the candles, it could be sunset already. So this way, she could light the candles, make a condition she has not accepted Shabbos yet, and then she can daven mincha. But under these circumstances, where she's not accepting the Shabbos, she should first make the blessing and then light the candles to know that that's different than normal. Normally what are you doing? You're lighting the candles, and once I'm lighting the candles, I'm going to make the bracha, and that brings in the Shabbos, and I can't light the candles anymore. That's why I'm lighting the candles first. But now that when I'm making the bracha and I'm not bringing in the Shabbos, so then make the bracha first, as you normally should be making the brachas first before you do a mitzvah. The only reason you weren't doing this is because you were accepting the Shabbos. But if you're not accepting the Shabbos, why should you do it the wrong way? Do it the technically correct way. Make the bracha and then light the candles. Because I'm not bringing the Shabbos anyway. That's what a man does whenever a man lights. Because he's never bringing in the Shabbos because he's usually going to shul. So that's what has to be done under those circumstances. It's clear, right? That's very logical way. So a woman's doing it, she would have to reverse it. That's why, you know, women get confused with this. It's very, for some reason, although it's pretty obvious, but you know, they got a lot of other things on their mind in Erev Shabbos and they forget. But that you'd have to make that distinction. Yeah.
So what if you can't finish the whole mincha before sunset and you go a little
bit
over?
Just go a little over. It's okay. Just go a little over. As long as you started before.
How much before?
Well, you're lighting 18 minutes before, right?
Okay.
It doesn't usually take most people more than 18 minutes to say Shemoneh Esrei.
So what if you're pressed for time and you can't finish it? Like you're going into, like, let's say 10 minutes.
You have to judge every situation. As long as you can start it before a couple minutes before sunset, you're fine. And if you're Hasidic, you can even do it after sunset. some Hasidim daven mincha like at 11 o'clock at night. So okay, they're mystics and they're in other places than we are. But as long as you're in that zone, you're okay. All right, let's at least hope. Well, I guess we're only doing the laws of candles tonight. Well, it's very important laws, you know. There's a lot of good questions, and there's no reason to speed things up. So number 21, okay. So women say a special prayer after kindling the lights. We said that a woman who lights the candles in a joyful frame of mind receives the power to have her prayers answered at this time. It's very important. Oh, did I skip? Oh, okay, I'll come back to it. Okay, thank you. But it's important that the woman should be happy when she lights the candles, and to the degree that she is happy and joyful with bringing the Shabbos, to that degree her prayers will be answered. Okay, now we skipped 20. Thank you. So now what do you do with the match or the candle that used for kindling the lights? So again, it depends on the opinions of exactly when the Shabbos has been totally accepted. When she lights the candles, has it totally been accepted? Or when she makes the bracha, has it been totally accepted? So if you're the opinion that when she lights the candles, then that match she can't put out. So what do? You just put it on the tray and let it go out by itself. It's one of the reasons why they have a tray. Besides for the wax that drips, it's where to put that, that match. Or you go over to the sink and drop it in the sink. But if you feel that when you make the bracha you've lit the candle, then you just put out the match. And then you make the bracha. So there's different customs. They're both equally valid. If you use a candle, same thing. You can either, if you're lighting with a candle, you either can just let the candle stay like a shamish and be there, or you can put it out. Either way is fine. Whatever you want to do, there's no a preferred method over the other. I guess the more strict one, if you want to say what's more strict, the more strict one is not to put it out. Obviously it'd be the more strict, but there's definitely a lot of reliable opinions that you can put it out as well. All right, we're up to 22. When the Shabbos lights are the only source of light, let's say you don't have any electric illumination in the room, it's best to use candles that are long enough to last until the end of the meal. Obviously, because you want to have light during the meal. And the truth is, you know, the candles that they sell, they go about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. But it could very well be, let's say, you know, the wife's lighting early and the husband's coming late from shul and then they have guests. This doesn't always work. It's not a bad idea. I don't know why people don't do it. You know those fancy candles, like these really, what do you call it, dinner candles, you know? That's really a nice candle to use if you're having long meals. Because what happens a lot of times is, even those nice big thick candles, they go 2.5 hours. But by the time the husband comes from, let's say on a typical Shabbos, my wife's going to light candles about 4:30. I don't get home till 6:15, right? And the meal takes a couple hours. Those candles go out before the meal's over. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But to beautify the mitzvah, you light the candles on during the entire meal. Okay, well, you can't. If you have a six-hour meal, it's not going to go on forever. But if you get these nice, long dinner candles, it's a nice idea. Or if you're using oil, and a lot of oil can go for a very long time. A lot of oil can go for 5-6 hours, and that's a benefit as well. And you would like those candles to be on as much as possible. Let me just, I gotta finish these 2 points, and then if there's time, we'll take questions. Point 23. This is interesting, Hasidisha custom. The custom is after the wife lights the candles, and if you have curtains in your house. I mean, not every house has curtains. There's all different kinds of ways of covering your windows. But the custom is to draw the curtains after lighting the Shabbos candles and after saying the prayers. Why? Because the splendor of the Shabbos is not meant to go out of the house and into the street. It's supposed to be kept in the house. And the outside street, spiritually, is always connoted where evil lurks, so to speak. And we don't want them enjoying the holiness of the Shabbos candles projecting out. This is the opposite of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, the whole point of Hanukkah is you want to bring Yiddishkeit out into the street. And then when we'll learn about Hanukkah, you'll see why. That's to show that you want to publicize the mitzvah. By Hanukkah, there's a special reason for publicizing. Shabbos is a home mitzvah. And you want to keep the Kedusha in the home. You don't want going out of the house. So symbolically, by drawing the shades, you're like closing off the evil of the outside street, so to speak, and you're keeping the Kedusha in the house. And finally, the Shabbos lights, as we said, are very special, and we should try to glance at these as often as possible. The mystics say when you look at the Shabbos lights and you set your eyes, you set your eyes in the right direction, it shuts out the ability for Satan to see what's going on in your life. And it's a good habit you should have. Look at Shabbos candles. Keep looking at them. It keeps you focused on the spirituality of who you are and of what the day is, and it protects you in many, many ways. All right, just one or two quick questions, then we got to go. Yeah?
In point 15, where you quote the Arizal that he says at least two should burn olive oil, is he saying you could add a mixture?
Yes. Yes.
Because for Hanukkah, he says you can't.
I don't know what the Zohar would say about Hanukkah, but even in Hanukkah, if they'd be in the same row, but it wouldn't be in the same row. There's technical things. Hanukkah, they have to be in a row the same height. Shabbos, they don't have to be the same row the same height. You can have the candles any which way you want them, so that's why it's not a problem. Yeah?
You said about long candles. Do they have to be kosher?
I don't think you're going to have a problem with that. There's really not a problem with kosher candles. As a matter of fact, they even say it should be out of animals because it's symbolic of burning of the fats in the Beis Hamikdash. Just in that, it's not food. There's no problem of cooking treif when you're letting a candle go.
But Hanukkah candles have to be kosher, no?
Again, I mean, olive oil, you use pure olive oil. It's not hard to have kosher ones. And you can have paraffin, but some are specific one animal wax specifically for that, but you don't have to worry. It's not like cooking pig. That's not allowed. A candle is not a pig, so you don't have to worry about that.
So olive oil doesn't need a
hechsher? Pure virgin olive oil does not need a hechsher. It's kosher. Pure, not, it has to be pure virgin olive oil. But there's enough that have hechshers. You go to any store, all the pure virgin oils have hechshers. So it's not a problem. Okay, so we did candle lighting. So Mirz Hashem, next week, Kiddush. And this will take a little bit longer, but Baruch Hashem, we'll understand the halachas very clearly. Okay, have a good night. We'll see you next week.
Is paraffin the equivalent of olive, or it's better to use olive?
It's better to use olive.